continue our studies in the Westminster Confession of Faith by again looking at chapter 1 of the Holy Scripture. This week, studying sections 2 and 3, which read thus. Under the name of Holy Scripture, or the Word of God written, are now contained all the books of the Old and New Testament, which are these, of the Old Testament: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Songs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Of the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, the Epistle to the Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 3 John, Jude, Revelation. All which are given by inspiration of God to be the rule of faith and life. The books commonly called Apocrypha, not being of divine inspiration, are no part of the canon of Scripture, and therefore of no authority in the Church of God, nor to be any otherwise approved or made use of than other human writings. The first section of the Westminster Confession of Faith reminds us that the Holy Scripture is most necessary for Christians, and these two sections of this chapter tell us what Scripture is and what it is not. Scripture is, in the first place, holy. It is sanctified, set apart from all other writings in the world. Other books contain history, poetry, and great wisdom. Other books contain great truths that are worthy of study, imitation, and meditation. But there is no book like the Holy Scripture, and that is because this alone is God's Word written. Of course, no book could be written without the talents and insights that God gives to His creatures. But only the Holy Scripture is owned by God as His own writing. That writing takes the form of 66 books divided into two parts. 39 of these books are found in the Old Testament, written before the time of Christ's birth, and 27 are written in the New Testament, after the time of Christ's death and glorious resurrection. The list presented here is the one found in the table of contents in all Protestant Bibles, and it includes all the books that are common to Christian Bibles around the world. These books are not an anthology of works collected from a greater corpus, a mere selection from a wider number of God's writings. No, this is the total number of the books that are inspired by God. Here the confession picks up the wording of Paul's second letter to Timothy, and the Old King James Version puts it best when it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Sometimes Christians focus on inspired authors of the Bible, and of course it's true, as Peter says, that holy men of old who wrote the Bible spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Certainly it's the case that Scripture is not of private origination or interpretation and did not come by the mere will of man. We need to emphasize these things, while at the same time we need to be sure that we do not lose sight of the fact that it is the Bible itself that is inspired. These books, this Scripture alone, abides with God's breath of life. It is perhaps for this reason that the letter to the Hebrews says that God's Word is living and active. And Peter says that the Word of God is living and enduring. If this is God's Word, then little wonder that it's to be our rule of faith and life. It is here that we learn who and how to worship, who and how to trust for our salvation and all of our needs, and how to live our lives. It is for this reason that the Bible should be read frequently by all Christians and should be at the center of the Christian church. Those who ignore the Holy Scripture are doomed to stumble through the world in darkness. Those who embrace the Scripture, believe what it promises, and walk by its precepts will never be without a guide or a light, and they will find their way to their Father's home. Sadly, some have not been content with the Bible God has given us and have slowly added to these 66 books. These additional books are usually called deutero or secondary canonical books. They're often vaguely defined by the churches who use them. Often they're set apart in a special section in printed Bibles. Some of these books were written under false names or with false titles, so many, in fact, that the entire corpus of additional books is often called apocryphal or the Apocrypha. Well, these books, commonly called Apocrypha, are not part of the list or catalog or canon of Scripture. They have not true authority in Christ's Church. In fact, they are not to be recommended as anything but ancient human writings. This is a strong statement on the part of the Westminster Divines, and it contradicts, for example, the teaching of the Church in England at that time, the time that it was written. The 39 articles of the Anglican Church recommend the Apocrypha as particularly useful for example of life and instruction of manners, but yet doth it not apply them to establish any doctrine. But to say this is to misunderstand the relationship between Christian doctrine and Christian living. Our life must flow from our faith. The Christian life should be a reflection of what we believe. And if the Apocrypha cannot be useful for establishing Christian doctrine, we should not elevate it as a guide for the Christian life. It's wiser by far to use the Apocrypha as we would any other religious book. And it's wisest of all to treasure the Holy Scripture that God has given, to heed its authority, to give it our heart's approval, and to make use of it more than any human writing.